So we were seeing in the last webinar, Shloka 29, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshostina Priyaha E Bachanti Tumam Bhaktya Mayite Teshu Chapyaham. So that's what Krishna said in the 29th Shloka. He says, because of ignorance, many people, they think they are separate from me. There is a separation between me and them. And because of knowledge, this separation will be gone. So bhaktas have gained that knowledge. Therefore, they don't have the separate buddhi, the idea of separation at all. Whereas the abhaktas, they have bheda buddhi and they think they are separate from me. So whether you should be one with me or away from me is whose choice? Is only your choice. And this is what, that is why we said moksha is a purushartha and it is not a divine will or destiny. It is something that we have to seek and attain. Then what is the next question? That's what is given in the next shloka, shloka 30 that we will see today. Api chet sudurachara bhajate mamananyabhak sadureva satantamantavyaha samyak vyavasito hi saha. So the Lord, that means, is putting the responsibility on us. Then we will start to think, will we be able to work and attain moksha? Because he said moksha is a purusharta and it is for you to attain it. Then we will naturally ask ourselves whether we will be able to attain that moksha or not. Then suddenly a diffidence will come to all of us. Till now the problem was not there because we put the responsibility on the Lord. So I never thought about my fitness at all about it. It is all Lord's grace. He will give it to me. Really speaking, they put the responsibility on the Lord only to avoid this diffidence. Because they know very well perhaps we may not be qualified to attain this moksha. So we should remember, whenever diffidence comes, one can imagine that Lord will take care of me. At the same time, we should not put the whole responsibility and stop our self-effort. Whenever laziness comes, come to self-effort. And whenever diffidence comes, go to the Lord. That is how the attitude should be. So self-effort and faith in the Lord, they must go together hand in hand. Self-effort with faith. Without faith will lead to diffidence. Depression, arrogance, all those things will come when self-effort is there without the faith in the Lord. At the same time, faith without effort, there will be no progress also. So that means what? Both are necessary. Faith in God is necessary and self-effort is necessary. Prayatnam, that is called the self-effort, that is always necessary. I should do my work. In the previous shloka, Krishna has emphasized the self-effort. And so Arjuna, he looks at himself. Now I have to go through all these things to go to moksha. I should get chitta shuddhi. I should get chitta naishalyam. I have to go and get shravana, manana, nididhyasanam I should do. I have to do all these activities before I can qualify myself to get moksha. And I don't think I'll be able to do all these things. That was Arjuna's diffidence. So Krama Mukti is enough for me. That's what he thought, as if Krama Mukti is easier. We have already seen Krama Mukti and Jivan Mukti, all those topics we have seen earlier. So he thinks Krama Mukti is only fit for me. Therefore, Krishna gives to Arjuna another extra pat here. Because Arjuna is almost flat on the ground now. He feels that I am a great sinner. I am not qualified. That is what his diffidence is. Perhaps some rare Shankaracharya, Ramana Maharishi should come and he may be fit to get moksha perhaps, but not me. That is his attitude. I am too ordinary a person to aspire for too high a thing like moksha. So Krishna says, no such thing at all. There is no need for such diffidence. So he says, sudurachara api. In this shloka, sudurachara api, even the greatest sinner, he even can attain moksha. Durachara means a sinner, a papi. Tushtaha acharaha yasesaha durachara. Even a papi can attain moksha, the one whose way of life is corrupt, who is evil. very great sinner, very great evil-minded person. And Arjuna is not under that category at all. So he should not have any diffidence, because even such a person, Krishna says, will attain moksha, why Arjuna should worry? But Krishna says, even if you are a sudurachara, you have nothing to fear, because only an effort should be there. It should be longer than others, perhaps. Other people who don't have that effort, you should perhaps, your effort, maybe you need to put effort for a longer time than other much qualified people. So, sudurachara ched api, even if one is the greatest sinner, saha sadhu eva mantavyaha. He should be considered as a sadhu, a saint, when? The moment mam ananyabhak bhajate. The moment he begins to worship me, repenting for all his evil ways of life and aspiring to get the highest in life. The moment the person makes that step, that is adequate. The moment he decides to turn a new leaf in his life, mam bhajate. How he should worship me? Ananya bhak, with ananya bhakti. Bhak means ananya bhakti. That I am the ultimate. He is a sadhu. Such a person is considered even a saint, even though he may be sudaracharaha. So he is not yet progressed. We should understand that. He has only changed the direction. Krishna says the very turning itself is a big turning point in his life, because his direction is now a noble direction. It was originally durachara, now it has become a noble direction. As someone actually pointed out, where a person stands, that does not matter at all. Which direction he is turned, only that matters. Okay. On the other hand, the one who is in a good path, but now he is turning towards evil, that person is a sinner. Therefore, which direction one turns towards, that is important, and not where he is now. So, yaha mam ananya bhag bhajate saha sadhu eva. He is a saint only, saha sadhu eva. Why? Samyak vyavasitaha. He has made the proper decision, the right decision in life. Vyavasitaha means nischitaha. Samyak. Samyak means properly. Now he is evil, we know. But he has decided to be good. That itself is enough. The very decision will make him a saint. So Krishna assures, the very decision to change, that itself will make him a saint. Shloka 31. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvachantim nigachati. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashyati. It's a very nice shloka. Krishna says, the moment a person makes that decision, he can be considered a saint. Because sooner or later, he is going to become a complete adhikari. Adhikari means a person who is eligible to gain moksha. He is going to get a proper teacher, a guru. He will go through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam and will become Jnana Nishtaha one day also. Remember, Nishkama Bhakti will not directly give moksha. No compromise. Nishkama Bhakti will prepare a person to get a guru in Vedanta Vichara and ultimately gain Jnanam, which will give moksha finally. So naturally, the question will be, how long will it take? We all want a quick reckoner. How long will this take so that we can program our lives? Okay, my end point to get moksha is so and so age. Okay, so Krishna does not want to commit, because it varies from individual to individual. If it is tons of impurity, somebody's impurity is tons and tons of, you know, sanchita karma from so many janmas, it may take many janmas. Aneka janma samsiddha, we have seen that earlier. If it is a relatively small one, it may be perhaps few years in this Janma itself. If he is almost prepared, then it may be even quicker. So Krishna does not put an exact time at all. He says Kshipram. Kshipram means soon. Soon, before long. Saha dharmatma bhavati. That sudurachara, he was, that person was an evil-minded person earlier. That person, he will become dharmatma bhavati. He decided to turn a new leaf in his life. He doesn't want to be evil anymore. And by that decision itself, he becomes a noble person now. But still, that durachara vasanas, they are there very strong in him. Durachara vasanas are there. So sooner or later, he will become what? Su sadacharaha bhavati. From duracharaha, he will become sadacharaha. A person, noble person, that is what he says here, dharmatma bhavati. Su sadacharaha dharmatma bhavati. Atma. Atma means here mind, antakaranam. It is not Sachidananda Atma, Dharmatma Bhavati. Dharmatma means the one whose mind is full of dharmika chintana. There are only such thoughts in his mind. There is no adharma vritti at all in his mind. And what does that mean? Raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, moha, madha, matsarya, all kind of negative vrittis, negative thoughts, they have been weeded out. Mind is not with any of them. And in that place, he has put a beautiful garden in the mind. The weeds are all removed. So in his heart, he has got what? Santosha. He has got ahimsa. He has got shanti. He has got amanitvam. He has got bhakti. He has got karuna. So dharmatma bhavati means dharmachittaha bhavati, adhikari bhavati. He becomes eligible to gain jnanam. To put in Vedantic language, adhikari bhavati. So what does the bhakti do? It converts the durachari to sadachari. Up to that, bhakti can do. Nishkama bhakti can definitely do up to that. Okay, and then what will happen? Once he is an adhikari, then also bhakti will continue. He will still have bhakti. But what type of bhakti will it be? It will get converted to jnana lakshana bhakti. Later, the bhakti is in the form of Vedanta vichara. It is not anymore doing pujas and naivedyam and all that. It will be in the form of Vedanta vichara, inquiry into the nature of oneself. We have already seen this before. The word bhakti will have different meaning depending on the context, the grade of the student. For a beginner, bhakti means what? Karma yoga. For a bit advanced person, bhakti will be what? Like upasana. And once these two stages are crossed, bhakti will be Vedanta vichara. That is what Shankaracharya, he says in Viveka Chudamani, that's a beautiful shloka. Moksha karana samagriyam bhakti reva gariyasi. For somebody who wants to get moksha, he says, among the various things available for gaining moksha, bhakti reva gariyasi. Bhakti is the highest, is the best. That's what he said. But people now started to look at this shloka and read this line and started to say, oh, Shankaracharya is a great Advaitin. But what still he said? If you want to gain moksha, bhakti is the superior marga. That is how you can get moksha. So that means what? I am aham brahmasmi iti jnanam is what is given here in Advaita. Whereas he is telling you do bhakti. Bhakti to Krishna, Rama or anybody. That is the highest. But in the second line, Shankaracharya defines what is bhakti. Swaswarupa anusandhanam bhaktihi iti abhidiyate. Swaswarupa anusandhanam bhaktihi iti abhidiyate. What is bhakti? Swaswarupa anusandhanam. Enquiring into the true nature of oneself. That alone is bhakti. So all other pujas, naivedyams, homas, all those things, upasanas, meditations, none of them are bhakti in that sense. In the Advaitic parlance, bhakti is swaswarupa anusandhanam. If someone is not prepared for that alone, all other types of bhakti like puja, achara, homa, yajna can be all followed. As Swamiji says, actually, he says very, very nicely, these are all third-rate bhakti. Upasana is maybe second-rate bhakti and Vedanta vichara becomes the highest type of bhakti. And taking to that jnana lakshana bhakti, what happens to him? Shashvat Shantim Nigachati. He attains permanent peace. Shashvat Shantihi. Everlasting peace he attains. Shashvat means permanent. Shanti means peace. Nigachati, Nischayena Gachati. He will definitely attain. Nischayena Gachati. He will definitely attain that. That means what? The same Nishkama Bhakti converts this Durachari into Sadachari. Later, the same Nishkama Bhakti converts the Sadachari into a Jnani, into a person who is evolved, into a person who knows the nature of himself, who becomes a Jivan Mukta. So this Bhakti itself will take him through all these stages. And how do I know the Guru is necessary and who is the right Guru, etc.? All those questions people will have. if that nishkama bhakti is there, that bhakti itself will lead to a competent guru. It will naturally lead him. Durlabam trayamevaitat devanugraha hetukam. There are three things in life which are available only if you have devanugraham, the blessing of the devatas. What are the things that are the three things which are rare to attain? Without their blessing, one cannot get. They are manushyatvam, to be born as a human being. And the same thing will take a person to mumukshutvam, to crave the desire to gain moksha. And mahapurusha samshrayaha, to gain the good association of noble people, a good teacher. And the teacher will clarify everything. So don't go on, you know, settling with bhakti, the simple bhakti that we know, pujas and naivedyams and all these rituals. You have to know your nature, the teacher will say. That's what he will teach him. And once he comes to that, he attains permanent peace, otherwise known as jivan mukti. That's what he gets. So shashvat shanti means jivan mukti he attains. And still Arjuna is diffident. Krishna, is it a true guarantee? Or it is like a political promise you are making, so that I will try to go for Jnana Marga. Krishna says, my guarantee is not a false one. O Kaunteya, listen carefully. Pratijanihi, I am telling you, and you should tell this to all people. I am doing pratijna to you. I am making this promise to you. And you can, on my behalf, do pratijna to the whole world. That this is true. Pratijanihi. You declare to the whole world. What can you declare? Me bhaktaha na pranashyati. The devotee of the Lord, me bhaktaha na pranashyati, will never perish. You can go and declare to the whole world that the devotee of the Lord will never perish. The progress can be slow or fast according to the nature of the individual and the amount of sin he has accumulated over several janmas. But there is progress, as Swamiji says, whether it is an inching progress or footing progress or miling progress, slow or fast, depends on the amount of burden that he carries, the sin he carries. But he guarantees that my bhakta does not perish at all. But we may say that there are some bhaktas who have not attained moksha at all in this janma. If we say, then we have to remember the sixth chapter where the Lord said, Partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyana krit kashyate durgatim tata gachyati. Even if he does not get moksha in this life, you cannot consider him a failure because he is going to continue the progress from the next janma. Prapya punyakritam lokan ushitva shashvatim samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brishtaha abhijayate. The fallen person, such a person, after death, what he does, to the lokas of the righteous people he goes, and after having lived there for innumerable number of years, he is reborn in this world in a pure and prosperous family. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe, he is born in those families so that he will pursue this Atma Vichara and gain ultimately moksha. So my bhakta will not perish. He will definitely get moksha. But I cannot guarantee whether it is in this janma or in the next janma or in a later janma. It depends on the amount of impurity he has got. And as far as the seeker is concerned, he should not bother how long it will take. He cannot bother, will it be next year, this year? No. This is a very, very important point, because by every seeker, they have to note this, whether I belong to this Janma liberation group or next Janma liberation group, that worry you should never have. It is none of our business. Always we attempt liberation in this Janma itself. That is all our duty. We have to attempt liberation in this Janma itself. Whether we succeed or fail, that is a totally different question. This is what they say. You work for 100% of your effort, maybe you may get 80% result. If you work only for 35 marks, actually in India those days, I don't know now, those days if you get 35%, 35 marks, you can pass the exam. So if you prepare only for 35%, mostly most people will fail. And so have confidence in yourself and confidence in Ishwara Kripa and put the best foot forward and do the best effort you can. Then there is no problem at all. Atmaiva him, Atmana Banduho, Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. You are your own friend and you are your own Shatru, both. Unless you put the proper effort, you cannot gain moksha at all. So, Uddaretim, Atman Atmanam. We saw all those shlokas earlier. Therefore, Krishna says, my moral support is always there for you. You are never alone. I am always behind you. So, in the 18th chapter, Krishna is going to say, we will see later, Chetasa Sarvakarmani Mai Sanyasya Matparaham Buddhi Yogam Upashtityam Machittaha Satatam Bhava Machittaha Sarvadurgani Matprasadat Tarishyasi. By my prasadam, they will cross. Even if there are big obstacles in to gain moksha, because of my grace and your effort, you will certainly gain moksha. Therefore, never be diffident. That is the destination declaration here. Me Bhaktaha Na Pranashyati. This is very, very important line, often quoted, because it is the pratigna, it is the promise of the Lord. Okay, for this pratigna, the Lord wants to give some proof also. Because our diffidence is so powerful and hard that even if the Lord gives us a pratigna, still we may have doubts whether this person could be correct. The Lord says, all right, how can I believe he is correct? All those doubts we may have. So the Lord wants to boost it further. And in the next shloka, he gives some support to his promise, to his pratigna. Shloka 32. Maam hi partha vyapashritya yepisyu papa yonayaham striyo vaishyastata shudraha tepiyanti param gatim. This is a tricky shloka. It should be understood properly. We will explain. So what is the proof that bhakti will save everyone and lead to moksha? And that is what is said here. Normally, it is said that moksha is attained by highly qualified people. That is what we always learn everywhere. And say, they normally say that brahmanas and kshatriyas are generally supposed to be fit for moksha. These are all various places in shastras and all they say. We have to understand them properly. Because of their qualification, because of their knowledge, because of their austere, behavior and all that. And normally scriptures say that some other people are generally not fit for moksha. So scriptures say brahmana, kshatriyas are all fit. And some are because of all these things. And others are not fit. And Krishna gives a list of them. That is where we have a problem. Those who are generally considered to be unfit for moksha. And Krishna says this as a list. And he gives also how this is clarified. So what is going to be the conclusion now? Even those people who are generally considered unfit, even they can attain moksha by bhakti. And that is the conclusion. We already told what bhakti is. Bhakti is what? Atma vichara. That is bhakti. So, even those people who are generally considered unfit, even those people can gain moksha by bhakti. And who are those people who are generally considered unfit? That is where we have to understand this particular line very, very correctly. We will explain it properly. Papayonayaha, Striyaha, Vaishyaha, Shudraha. Papayonayaha means people of evil origin, evil birth. That means what? Who are not born to good parents, who are not born in a religious environment, who are not born in the family of Vaidika samskaras, no good samskaras at all in those places. Such people, yoni here means janma. So papa yoniha means papa janmanaha, those people who had such an evil birth, who never get exposed to Vedic culture, samskara, etc. They live such a life only. Naturally, they are unfit for moksha because of their own papa samskaras. Because of their papa samskara, they are born in such an environment and they never get an opportunity to elevate themselves at all. So such people are also unfit. And the next is what? Striyaha. Threes, ladies, are said to be greatly unfit also. Remember, we are not talking about the physical form of a lady here, but we are talking about the mind of a lady. That's where we have to understand this particular statement very clearly. It is not stri, a lady. It is the person who has a stri mind. A stri mind is defined as a mind which has got the weakness of attachment. Anybody who has attachment, that person is supposed to have a stri mind. So a mind with attachment, a mind that clings on, that is emotional, which is weak, which is oversensitive mind, that is called as three mind. So when he says threes, it is not three the physical stream, it is the people with three mind. So even if the person has a Purusha Shariram, he is a man by birth, manly body, but with that mind, he is a stree only. Such a person is considered a lady only. And that is why when Arjuna cried in the battlefield, what Krishna said, Klaibhyam masmasamgama partha naitatva yuvapadyate shudram hridaya daurbalyam tyaktva uttishta parantapa. Hridaya daurbalyam tyaktva uttishta. He said, leaving your hridaya daurbalyam. Don't behave like a woman. And therefore, it is a type of mind that is called stree here. It is not the actual stree, it is a type of mind. And why it is an obstacle? Why should not somebody have a stree mind and gain still moksha? Because Vedanta always talks about what? Asangatvam as the ultimate goal, detachment. It never believes in clinging. You have to cut. You have to sever all relationships. You have to lean. You have to learn to stand on your own legs. No dependencies of any kind. It never believes in any attachment at all. It is okay to start with some attachment. Grihastha ashrama is fine. Nothing wrong initially. In fact, everyone is a stree only. You all have attachments. But afterwards, having vairagyam, you should go beyond family attachment and then go to your guru. So now cling on to your guru now. But it is a better attachment. Better than family attachment, this is guru's attachment. Then guru becomes the support. And guru's attachment is for what purpose now? For getting shastram alone. You cling on to a guru to learn the shastras. So till I receive shastra jnanam, I cling on to the guru. And thereafterwards, I should shift from guru to shastram, having gained shastra knowledge. I should now go to shastram because remember, we cannot permanently hold on to a guru also. That is the next stage. Once the shastram has been assimilated and I have become brahmanishtaha, then shastram also should be left behind. Grantham utsrijya medhavi palalamiva dhanyarthi tyajet grantham aseshataha. That is the shloka. After taking, separating the grain, how do you throw the husk? If you take paddy, after removing the rice, you throw the husk away. Similarly also, shift the attachment first to family, then to guru, then to shastram, and finally to what? To myself, atma vichara, to find out who I am. Shift it to that. And once I have atmanishta, naivatasya kritenartaha, nakriteneha kaschana, nachasya sarvabhuteshu, kaschidartavya pashrayaha. He does not depend on anyone, including the Lord, because Ishvara also is not different from him. This is called asangatva, a tremendous mental strength that is necessary to stand on one's own feet. We all need emotional support. Physically, we need support, we need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. We cannot become totally independent physically because living requires other things. But emotionally, we should become independent. I don't need mental support from anyone. I should be able to deal with anything myself. I can face any number of prarabdha problems myself and I can swallow everything and stand on my own feet. A Vedantin is the one who says, Prarabdhaya samarpitam swavapuhu. Let Prarabdha do whatever it wants. The son is like that, daughter is like that, wife is like that, husband is like that. It is all my Prarabdha, let it go. But I, the Atma am, is not affected by anything. That should be the conviction. The Vedanta never believes in dependence on even a guru or even Lord. Or even Shastram, quit all of them at various stages. And Atmariti Atmaritirevasyatam Atma Triptascha Manavaha. This requires tremendous mental guts for one to do that. So a stree mind is one. We are not telling a stree, understand clearly. A stree mind is one. It is one which gets stuck somewhere. it always gets stuck with something or the other, family, guru, shastram, whatever it is. And the one who has got such a mind is called, the one who is not attached to any of those, this thing is called a man with a Purusha, a person with a Purusha Buddhi. Stand on your own feet. Don't be like a creeper clinging on to something. The Lord says, does not matter. Practice bhakti. Cling to the Lord initially. Sooner or later, you will come out of that thing. And if not in this Janma, maybe in the next Janma. But one thing, you have to renounce all holes. No hole should be there at all. No attachment should be there. Then comes Vaishya type of mind. So this is three type of mind. Then the Vaishya type of mind, that's the next one. This mind has got other types of weaknesses. One of them is what? Selfishness. Always how much profit I'll make. Business kind of mind, which is called Vaishya mind. In any undertaking, the thing is for what? For my well-being, for my profit. What is it in for me? No service mentality or giving mentality when it comes to that business. Remember, we are not talking about Vaishyas. We are not talking about the Vaishya jati or anything. We are talking about Vaishya type of mind. There are a lot of people who are doing the business who are not Vaishyas, who are all Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, everybody does those work. So a Brahmana also or a Kshatriya also can have Vaishya type of mind. And another weakness of Vaishya mind is what? Is extrovert. Always running up. It cannot sit for a moment in meditation. For them, time is money. So selfishness, extrovertedness, the rajasic mind, these are all called Vaishya mind. So here Krishna says, even if such a mind is there, if it has got bhakti, it will sooner or later get out of that weakness also. And then comes the third type of mind, the Shudra mind, which is tamasic, which is also against Vedanta, because Vedanta requires a sharp, intelligent, subtle mind. A Shudra mind is supposed to be a tamasic mind. A little bit higher topic is taken, then, you know, even in many of our classes also, if sometimes some Vedantic topic of some involved thing or something like a little, looks like a dry thing, people start yawning. They look here, there and all, you know, they stretch. All these things we see everywhere, because these things are all much above me. I think it nothing makes sense. So just if you say karyam, karanam, bhinnam, abhinnam, karanam. That's it. How can you teach Vedanta without these terms? Very difficult. So they always like Purana Kathas. You know, Rama went to the forest. You know, all these things. Sita was abducted by Ravana. So we cannot condemn such minds. So we say continue listening to the Puranas. But one day you might come to Vedanta. Once you come to Vedanta, try to know who you are. That is why for Vedanta, always the number, you know, is always very less in Vedanta classes generally. So Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchidenam Shravanayapi Bahubihi Yonarabdaha. So all these things we have seen in Kathopanishad lectures also. So dull mind is a tamasic mind. So these minds normally cannot come to Vedanta. Even if they come, they will not understand with such a mind. They may say Aham Brahmasmi, and still depend on someone else. Even after saying Aham Brahmasmi, they are on mere words only for them. They don't understand what it is. And so Krishna says, bhakti will polish their mind, and sooner or later, Aham Brahmasmi will become a fact for them. They may become a jnani. So he says, Yepisyuhu papayonayaha striyo vaishyas tatashudraha. All these people, tepi. They also paramgatim yanti, they attain paragati, moksha, independence. They can also gain. How? Mamhi vyapashritya. By surrendering to me, with what? With nishkama bhakti. So the surrender can be initially a saguna bhakti. It could be no harm. They can be saguna bhakti, Krishna bhakti. But whatever be the bhakti, it should be a nishkama bhakti, not for the sake of worldly benefits. So by depending on me, even those people who are normally said to be unfit for moksha, they attain paramgati, the highest goal of liberation. Krishna promises. Then Krishna will say, if they themselves will get moksha, what to talk about those people who are fit for moksha? They will certainly get. That is what Krishna is going to tell in the next shloka, shloka 33. Kim punar brahmana punyaha Bhaktarajarshayastatha anityamasukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. సో ఇఫ్ వైశ్య అండ్ శూద్రాస్ దెమ్సెల్స్ కెన్ అటైన్ మోక్ష, వైశ్యాస్ అందులో పీపుల్ విత్ సచ్ మైండ్స్ త్రూ భక్తి వాట్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ బ్రాహ్మణాస్ అండ్ క్షత్రియాస్. రిమెంబర్ బ్రాహ్మణాస్ అండ్ క్షత్రియాస్ ఆల్సో బ్రాహ్మణ అండ్ క్షత్రియ మైండ్. దట్ మీన్స్ వాట్? దే విల్ డెఫినెట్లీ అటైన్ మోక్ష త్రూ నిష్కామ భక్తి. ఫార్ దమ్ ఎవ్రీ స్టెప్ ఈజ్ వెరీ ఈజీ. దే నెవర్ క్లింగ్ ఆన్ టు ఎనీథింగ్. యూస్ అ స్టెప్, మూవ్ ఫార్వర్డ్, డ్రాప్ ఇట్, కీప్ మూవింగ్. సో హీ సేస్ కిం పునః పుణ్యాహ బ్రాహ్మణాహ. హియర్ పుణ్యాహ మీన్స్ సాత్విక్ పీపుల్. వాట్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ దోస్ సాత్విక్ బ్రాహ్మణాస్ ఫార్ హూమ్ వైరాగ్యం ఈస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ నార్మల్. ఫార్ పీపుల్ విత్ అ బ్రాహ్మణ మైండ్, క్షత్రియ మైండ్, వైరాగ్యం ఈస్ సపోజ్ టు బి నార్మల్. అండ్ ఆల్సో భక్త రాజర్షయ అండ్ డివోటెడ్ రాయల్ సేజెస్, ది క్షత్రియ రూలర్స్. రాయల్ సేజెస్ మీన్స్ క్షత్రియ రూలర్స్. దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో డివోటెడ్ బై దర్ ప్రొఫెషన్. దే ఆర్ రాజా, బట్ బై విజ్డమ్ దే ఆర్ యాజ్ గుడ్ అస్ రిషి సేజెస్. సో రాజా రాజానశ్చతే రిషయశ్చ రాజర్షయ. ప్రొఫెషనలీ క్షత్రియాస్ బట్ విజ్డమ్ వైస్ దే ఆర్ రిషీస్. సో వాట్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ ద కల్చర్డ్ బ్రాహ్మణాస్ అండ్ డివోటెడ్ క్షత్రియాస్ పీపుల్ విత్ సచ్ మైండ్. దే విల్ సర్టన్లీ అటైన్ మోక్ష, నో స్ట్రగుల్ ఫార్ దెమ్ అట్ ఆల్. ఇన్ షార్ట్ వాట్ ఆర్ యూ ట్రైంగ్ టు టెల్ హియర్? వెదర్ దే ఆర్ బ్రాహ్మణాస్ ఆర్ క్షత్రియాస్ ఆర్ వైశ్యాస్ ఆర్ శూద్రాస్ ఆర్ విమెన్ ఆర్ పాపీస్ డస్ నాట్ మ్యాటర్. దే విల్ ఆల్ గెట్ మోక్ష త్రూ వాట్? త్రూ నిష్కామ భక్తి. ఇన్ ది కేస్ ఆఫ్ బ్రాహ్మణాస్ ఇట్ మే బి ద లీస్ట్ స్ట్రగుల్ పర్హాప్స్. ఫార్ అదర్స్ ఇట్ మే బి ఎ స్లైట్లీ మోర్ స్ట్రగుల్, బట్ నో వన్ విల్ ఫెయిల్ ఇన్ గెట్టింగ్ మోక్ష ఈదర్ టుడే ఆర్ టుమారో. Therefore, Arjuna, what is my advice to you? Bhajasva mam. May you worship me. How? Nishkamataya. Without any ulterior motive, without any expectation. Worship me. Bhaj. Bhaj means to seek. Also, to worship me. Seek to me. Then why can't I seek anything else? Why should I seek only you, not anything else? Anityam asukam lokam prapya. Because you are in the world which is anityam. You cannot hold on to anyone. Family will not survive. Guru as a person will not survive also. And so anityam, anything is anityam or mithya. And asukam, asukam means a source of sorrow only. What is the reason? Anitya deva. It will come and will go one day because it is anityam. So it will cause sorrow. And so whoever we cling on, that will go away. And that is why we say, even Lord as a person will create a problem only, because when he is with me, I'll be happy. As Krishna was going from the Gokulam to Mathura, all the gopis cried. Because of what? Samyoga, Viyoga, association and dissociation. Because he is taken as a person. Krishna, when you take him as a person, that's what will happen. Guru also is like that. So, Shastram, so is Ishvara, all the same thing. So any anatma is anityam and dukkha hetuhu, cause for dukkham, sorrow. Whether it is noble anatma or ignoble anatma doesn't matter. So having come to this perishable and sorrow-ridden world, why do you go after those things which are impermanent? Mam eva bhajasva, may you seek me alone. Mam eva bhaja govindam govindam bhaja. Samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrinkarane. That's what Adishankaracharya said in Bhajagovindam. So Krishna concludes by giving an advice to Arjuna how to have nishkama bhakti in the last shloka, which we will see in the shloka number 34. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktve vam atmanam matparayanaha. So what should you do? You should do nishkama bhakti. And how to express nishkama bhakti? Krishna gives all those details here. The definition of nishkama bhakti is a very beautifully, nicely given here. He says, manmana bhava, may you remember me, keep me in your mind all the time. Let the Lord occupy the predominant position in your mind. Because for everyone, one thing or the other is predominant in the mind. For example, if you take a tennis champion, then in his mind, he may have so many other things to do, but predominantly the mind is always occupied with tennis. A musician, mind is occupied predominantly with music. Even though he may also travel, he may sleep, he may enjoy, he may eat, he may do everything else. But predominantly music is in the mind. So for a nishkama bhakta, what is the predominant thing that should be occupying the mind? Me alone, the Lord. Manmana Bhava. And the Lord also, not a loss, not a lot of money, not a lot of property, not a lot of this and that, but as the Lord of Moksha. So that Lord, the Lord of Moksha, should occupy his mind all the time. The infinite Lord. The infinite Lord may be worshipped in Rama Swarupam or Krishna Swarupam, doesn't matter. But he should understand that it is the infinite Lord whom he is worshipping. He sees Rama as Moksha or infinite. That Lord must be kept in the mind all the time. All other things are not destinations. They are all intermediaries. That's true. Only the Lord alone, the infinite Lord alone is ultimate. That should be remembered all the time. Manmana Bhava. And how do we do that? How to keep that Lord in the mind all the time? There is only one way. Madbhaktaha Bhava. Be my devotee. By being my devotee, you will remember me all the time. I must be the most dear to you. Because what you keep in mind all the time is what is dearest to you. And how will the Lord become dear to me? For that only we have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So we have got all this Navavida Bhakti to think of the Lord. And how will the Lord become? That is how he becomes dear to me. When we listen to the scriptures, you know the superiority of the Lord and the inferiority of all other things. So Nitya, Anitya, Vastu, Viveka, the discrimination between what is permanent, what is ephemeral. That is the only method to love the Lord. Lord alone is Nityam. Everything else Anityam, impermanent. This should be ringing in the mind all the time. Okay, does that mean that I should not do anything else? No. Madhyaji Bhava. I don't say you should not do your day-to-day activities. Do all your duties. Thinking of me, do all your duties. Then how to do Nishkama, be a Nishkama Bhakta? Because they offer them all those activities, whatever you do. If you want to be a Nishkama Bhakta, whatever activities you do, you offer all of them to me. All the time worship me through your Nitya Naimittika Karmas. Whatever actions you do. All the duties, you offer all of them to me. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhosi, yat dadati, yat tapasyati, all those things. Whatever it is, what do you do? Madarpanam kuru, give them all to me. You do Ishwar arpanam of all your actions. Don't stop anything. As for the sake of Sri Parameshwara Prithyartham, I do all karmas. Not for me. Everything is offered to the Lord. Even kanyadanam is given. People actually in the Vaidhi Samskara, I explained this in our previous webinar. The mantra is what? Tvaddhanat moksham apnuyat. By offering you as a kanyadhanam, what will happen? Moksham apnuyat. I will get moksha. So the concept of moksha should be there ringing in the mind all the time. So family duties will continue, but the purpose is different. Madhyaji Bhava. Madhyaji Bhava means what? That's whatever action you do, continue to do, but with an attitude of Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. Mam Namaskuru. Whenever you are free, do Namaskaram to me. When you have activity, let the activity be my worship. When no activity, do direct Namaskaram to me. Either Puja or Dhyanam or Sharashravanadi, whatever you can, do that. And then Mad Parayanaha. Keep me as your ultimate goal. There is no other goal other than me. That means if there is a choice between the Lord and any other blessed thing in the world, I should choose the Lord only. That is the sign of Nishkama Bhakti, Matparayanaha. Okay, what will happen if I do like that? Evam Yuktva, thus fixing your mind. Evam. Evam means as said like this. So, Uparyukta Prakarena. Yuktva. Yuktva means what? Manaha Samadhaya. Fixing your mind on me. Mam Yeva Yeshyasi. You will ultimately come to me alone. As you think, you become so. If you say you will come to me, then we may ask another question. How far will be are you for me to reach you? Krishna says, Atmanam. You will attain me who is your own self. You don't have to travel any far. That is your own self. I am not in Vaikuntham or Kailas. I am there also. I am the very Atma. And the Sachidananda Atma, you will attain me who is your own self. You will get that Jnanam. Aham Brahmasmi iti Jnanam. That's what you will get. I am the very Atma. That's what you will attain. So the conclusion is what? Nishkama Bhaktim Kuru, do Nishkama Bhakti. Sooner or later, you will certainly attain moksha. That is the conclusion with this sadhana, Bhakti Mahima. And this chapter, Krishna concludes, Om Tat Saditi, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Sum, Upanishad Sum, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yoga Nama, Navamodhyayaha. So thus is concluded the 9th chapter titled Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yoga. So now before we go to the 10th chapter, we will quickly summarize the 9th chapter, Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yoga. The summary of the 9th chapter. So in the first 3 shlokas, Krishna introduced the topic of Ishvara Swarupa Jnana and the glory of this knowledge, the nature of Ishvara and the glory of that knowledge. How it is one of the rarest of knowledge and how a person gets liberated by gaining this knowledge, that was said there. And incidentally, one important qualification was also mentioned, and that was Shraddha, to have faith, sincerity. So Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam, its glory and the value of faith, Shraddha, they were all mentioned as part of the introduction of this chapter. Then from 4th shloka onwards up to the 10th shloka, we had the main theme of the 9th chapter, which is Ishvara Swarupam. And that too, not the Sopadika Ishvara Swarupam, but the Nirupadika Ishvara Swarupam. Sopadika and Nirupadika, we have already told, with and without instruments. So Ishvara is the pure form, even without Maya, Nirupadika Ishvara, even without Maya. And some of the important points given here were all, the Ishvara is Sarvagataha, he is Avyaktam, he is formless, he is all pervasive, he is Satyam, all those things were given. So Namatsani Sarvabhutani, Shloka 3, that he is Satyam, he is Asangaha. Bhutabhrit Nacha Bhutastaha, Mamatma Bhutabhavanaha. Yata akashaha astito nityam vayuhu sarvatrago mahane akashavati asangaha. All those things were given there, and he is the srishti sthiti karanam, the cause for creation, sustenance and life. And finally, the Lord is in his pure form, he is akarta, he is non-doer and abokta. So mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam. So in my presence everything takes place, I do not do anything at all. So sarvatratvam, avyaktatvam, satyatvam, asangatvam, jagatkaranatvam and akartrutvam and also abhoktrutvam. So all those things were talked about. So these were the main points regarding the Ishvara Swarupam. And then in the 11th shloka, Krishna talked about the cause of bondage, samsara, samsara karanam, which is nothing but the ignorance of the Ishvara Swarupam. Because one doesn't understand the nature of Ishvara, that is the cause for bondage. So, avajananti ma mudaha manushim tanumashritam parambhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram parambhavam. They know my saguna nature as Rama, as Krishna. That knowledge will not liberate them. They will be free only when they know the formless Lord, the Nirguna Ishwaraha. And since people do not know, they are all samsaris. Then from the 12th verse onwards up to the 19th shloka, the means of removing samsara, bondage, how to get rid of this samsara was talked about. That is 12th to the 19th shloka. And what does it mean? It is nothing but bhakti alone. Krishna emphasized on bhakti. So bhakti was prescribed as an antidote, as a medicine to what? To the samsara roga, to the disease of samsara. But we should be very clear that bhakti has got so many stages. The first stage being Ishta Devata Bhakti, where I show devotion to a particular form of the Lord, Ishta Devata. Then Virat Bhakti, the total. And finally, bhakti must include Vedanta Vichara, Jnana Lakshana Bhakti, which should be directed towards knowing oneself. And when a person goes through these 3 stages of bhakti, that is Ishta Devata Bhakti, Virat Bhakti and Vedanta Vichara or Nirguna Bhakti, then he becomes free from samsara. And there afterwards, from shloka 20 to 22, this bhakti itself was divided into sakama bhakti and nishkama bhakti. And Krishna clearly pointed out that sakama bhakti cannot give moksha. It is nothing but materialism in religion. Swamiji says it is materialism in religion, religious materialism, we can call it. Because they go to Lord, all right, religiously, but what they ask for is material only they ask. So not that sakama bhakti will not go away, it will never go waste, it will be fruitful. It does give the result, artha, kama, dharma, it will give all that. And it can give higher lokas also, even up to Brahmaloka. We saw all that thing. One can go even up to Brahmaloka. So sakama is not invalid or meaningless. But what we say is, sakama bhakti will not take us away from samsara. Even after going up to Brahmaloka, one will be still in samsara only. So this sorrow will not go away. Higher pleasures will come. That's true. And along with higher pleasures, higher sorrows also will come. Not only that, at the end of the punya, when the punya exhausts, one has to necessarily return also. Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. Whereas for a nishkama bhakta, the palam is moksha itself. And the Lord said, nishkama bhaktas, worldly needs I will fulfill. Nishkama bhakta also will have a lot of worldly needs. That I will make sure that I fulfill them. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. That's what the Lord said. If they do not ask, I will myself give them whatever they need. And then from sloka 23 to 29, the glory of nishkama bhakti was highlighted. And then the importance of one's own purushartha was also indicated. What was the idea? Whether one should practice sakama bhakti or nishkama bhakti, it is in one's own hands. As far as the Lord is concerned, he does not decide what he should give. If one chooses to be a sakama bhakta, fine. The Lord gives the sakama palam. If one chooses to be a nishkama bhakta, the Lord gives him what palam? Moksha palam he gives. Therefore, for a person suffering, he alone is responsible, not the Lord. So every moment of our sorrow is caused by whom? By ourselves. Lord is absolutely not responsible for my sorrow. You get what you asked for, not what the Lord willed. And so moksha is a purushartha. It is not God's will or fancy, but it is a purushartha, what I seek. And he also pointed out one more thing. For nishkama bhakti, we have got higher results. And not only that, nishkama bhakti is easier also. That is the promise. Nishkama bhakti is easier also because patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati yatkaroshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasitate. So all those things. So niyamas, no concerns, the no fears, no niyamas, none of those things are there. Whenever time permits, however much one can do, Swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That's what Krishna said earlier. Therefore, nishkama bhakti is easier. It is superior. And it gives the highest palam, namely moksha itself. Then if one asks how to get nishkama bhakti, Krishna does not give the answer here. The only way is what? We should get vairagyam through viveka. We should get dispassion through our ability to discriminate between what is permanent, what is ephemeral. Vairagyam towards artha, kama, and even dharma, which can be got by viveka, by simply analyzing, simply thinking. Swargam also will go away. Kama and even dharma, they will all go away. Money will go away. House, people, relationship, body, everything will go away. That knowledge should be there. A simple thinking will do. That is viveka. And viveka produces vairagyam. When vairagyam is there, I cannot ask the Lord for artha and kama and dharma when vairagyam is there. And then my bhakti will be what bhakti? Will be nishkama bhakti. Of course, Krishna does not say that. We should remember that nishkama bhakti is through vivekam and vairagyam. Viveka and vairagyam alone will give me nishkama bhakti. And so we can say that nishkama bhakti is same as mumukshutvam. The tivra iccha, the craving desire to gain moksha. And so these are all the connections. Actually, if you remember the Tattva Bodha webinars, you might perhaps be able to relate to it. Otherwise, you know, you can refer to the notes or the lectures, the recordings in the site. And in the last five shlokas, shloka 30 to 34, Krishna pointed out the glory of bhakti, where he said, Api chetu suduracharaha, even if the greatest sinner, you know, if he can start with bhakti, he may not be able to practice jnana lakshana bhakti first. He may not get into jnana yoga first. He can start with ishtadevata bhakti, which does not require great maturity or anything. You can just go and worship any lord, whomsoever you want. Simply surrender to even an idol, that's enough. And later, this bhakti will mature to Virat Bhakti, the total. And later again, it will mature into Jnana Lakshana Bhakti or Jnana Yoga Bhakti. And then sooner or later, he will find out, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Chantim Nigachati. We saw this shloka today. He will attain Lord's field ultimately. And he said, whether it is Vaishyaha, Shudraha, Kshatriyaha, Brahmanaha, Striyaha or Papayonayaha, whomsoever it is, with respect to moksha, there is no restriction with respect to varna or ashrama or male or female. Anybody can get this. The restrictions come in the field of only karmakanda, not in the field of jnanakanda. Brahmins have certain rituals, kshatriyas which they cannot do. Kshatriyas have certain rituals which brahmanas cannot do. Shudras, women and all, they don't have any ritual. Therefore, with respect to karmakanda, Shastras prescribe specifically which everyone will have to follow when it comes to karmakanda. But when it comes to moksha, gaining self-knowledge, all these people have got eligibility. All of them can gain moksha. The only condition required is what? Sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. Viveka, vairagya, shamadishatka sampatti, the mukshutvam. All that we described in the Tattva Bodha lectures. So, a Brahmana without Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is an Anadhikari. He is not eligible. Whereas a woman or a Shudra with Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is an Adhikari, is eligible. So, he concluded with glorifying the Bhakti and finally what he said, Tasmat. Therefore, Arjuna, may you also be a Bhakta and fight this war without concern for the Phalam. And offer this battle also as an offering to me, arpanam to me. Yat karoshi yatashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yate. So yatat prapisikam teyam tat kurushvam madarpanam. Offer them to me. And finally, manmana bhava madbhaktaha madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. Fix your mind upon me. Be devoted to me. Do all your actions as an offering to me. Then certainly you will reach me alone. Mameva yashyasi. With this, Krishna concluded the ninth chapter, and this chapter is called Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yogaha, because that is the main theme. What is Raja Vidya? Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam is Raja Vidya. That's called Paravidya, which is the same as Brahma Vidya or Atma Vidya. We gave all these names during the course of our discussions. So this was the main theme discussed from Shloka 4 to Shloka 10. All others are only supporting shlokas. So the main theme is Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam between Shloka 4 to Shloka 10. And this is known as Raja Vidya. And at the same time, it happens to be Raja Guhyam, the greatest secret also. Because this is to be given only to a person who is mature enough to understand that. And so the chapter is called Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yogaha, the topic of Brahma Vidya. And then we will continue with our 10th chapter discussion from the next webinar. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.